tonight we're gonna look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to talk about King Jehoshaphat. Does anybody know who King Jehoshaphat is? Anybody? King Jehoshaphat. What a name, right? As you're turning in your Bibles, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Just let me speak what you want me to say tonight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit take control of me. Lord, just let me be a vessel here tonight, Lord. I just praise you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ones that are here, Lord. Let our hearts be warmed. Let our ears be open so that we may receive your word and apply it to our lives. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. It says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites, there's a lot of Munites in the scripture, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom and from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazion, Tamar. And this alarmed Jehoshaphat. And in one translation it says, he feared. It feared him. Okay? He resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. And indeed they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord, in front of the new courtyard, and said, and we're going to stop right there. What do we do? This whole part of this whole thing that happens to Jehoshaphat right here really reminds me of what do we do when someone or something or some, you know, when Satan wages war against us? What do you do? How do you react to that? And we find right here that with Jehoshaphat, what's the first thing that he does? We find that he fears, right? Or he's alarmed by what's happening. And do you ever get scared of stuff? You ever get scared when something happens in your life? You know, and I remember when the doctor said, hey, you got kidney disease. That kind of scared me. It really did. I had some fear. And but there's a lot of other things. You know, there's a lot of fears that people have. Some people fear about witnessing to people. It scares them. You know, or if God's calling you to do something, you're kind of scared to step out because you don't think you're qualified, or you don't think that, well, I can't do that. Surely God wouldn't want me to do that. Or you get what I'm saying? Sometimes we have these fears, not only these kind of fears, but fears about spiders and all these other things, you know. But we don't wage war against spiders. I guess we could. But you know, I find here that sometimes we have spiritual wars too, you know, because Satan's always on the attack. He's always trying to find a way to put fear into your heart, to put fear into your mind, to fear into your life. And, you know, God is not a God of fear. He is not. That fear doesn't come from Him. Now, we fear God because we realize if you're a saved individual, you realize who He is and how powerful He is and what He's done and what He could do and what He didn't do. You know what I'm saying? And so we fear Him for that. But we're talking about a fear that Satan always wants to get you down, and you fear these things, but that fear does not come from God. And so so the first thing I see here, and it kind of reminds me, when we look at verse 2, there is always somebody. When something happens in your life, there was always somebody. It says right here, some people came and told Jehoshaphat. You know, there's always, it seems like there's always somebody that comes to you and tells you something. They're always trying to tell you something maybe negative, or always trying to, you know. That happens, doesn't it? There's always those people that are trying to tell you something. But they told Jehoshaphat that this was going to happen, and this scared him. But right here, where it says it feared him or it alarmed him, one thing I want to point out is there, you know, when you look at there's a comma there. And you know what a comma does? It's not a period, right? There was no period right there. He put a comma right here. And I like that. It kind of stuck out because a comma means you go on. And that's what he did. It didn't stop him. Yes, he feared, okay, about what he heard. He was alarmed about what was going to happen. But when he was feared about it, or when he was alarmed about it, there was a comma there. You know, it wasn't a period. It's over. We're done. We're going to get defeated. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes in our life, we put a period where we should put a comma. You understand what I'm saying? And instead of going on like Jehoshaphat did, he went on. Sometimes we stop. Think about that. The first thing that Jehoshaphat did, we find, is then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem and at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said this. Now I'm going to go on. He said, Lord God of our ancestors, you are not the God who is in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in the sanctuary for you, for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress. And you will hear us and save us. But now hear our men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out into possessions you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now listen. The first thing he did was he sought God. He was scared, but the first thing he did is he sought God. He said, I'm taking this to God immediately. And he reminded God. He said, God, aren't you the God that did this? Aren't you the God that did this? And that made me think, you know, when stuff like this happens in my life, I have to be reminded, not only do I have to be reminded what God's done for me in my life, but when I pray, I said, aren't you the God? I'm going to lift him up and say, aren't you the God that saved my soul? Aren't you the God that has delivered me in different times of my life when I should have been, dead maybe? I had a car accident one time and there's really roll it over. You know, I could have been killed right then. But I believe God spared my life at that time. I look back and I think about those moments in my life where I believe God spared my life. Done things for me, give me those blessings. And I say, aren't you the God that did that? Aren't you the God that saved that, you know, my wicked old soul? Amen. That's what Jehoshaphat's doing. Aren't you the God that gave us this? You did all these things. You gave this. You're not going to let these people come in and take over what you did. Right? And then he's reminding the people that he's speaking to. You remember, this is the God that we serve. This is what he did. That's the first thing that he did. First thing, you know, he said he sought God, and then he called for a fast. he called for a fast. In verse 18, I think that's right. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. He called for a fast and he called for prayer. Number two, I don't want to get out of place here. And they prayed. And I mean, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. When we have these battles that come up, when something wages war against us, whether it's a spiritual war or even with, if it's an individual in our life, we have to take it to God. And we have to let Him fight that battle for us. Because you know what? If I get involved in it, I'm going to mess it up, for one thing. But I have to be reminded who is in control. And God is in control. And so we do that through prayer and fasting. And I mentioned fasting this morning. That's an important part. It's from the beginning of our scriptures. We start reading about fasting and prayer all the way to the end of our scripture in the apostles or the gospels, into the epistles. We read about fasting and prayer and how important it is for us to do that. Why? It's important. You know, food's a pretty important thing for us, right? We need it to survive. It's an important thing. And when we are willing to give that up, God will bless you for that. Because He knows that you have to have it to live. And when you're willing to give that up and sacrifice that amount of time, whatever time that it is, that's between you and God. That's your time between you and God. It's not for anybody else to even know. It's your time. It's your time. It's your sacrifice. What I like about this is we have to be reminded, it says here in verse 8, they lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name. And saying, and then on down it says, the presence before this temple that bears your name. You know what? When Jesus died and the temple veil was rent in two, the Holy of Holies we became that tabernacle. And we have to remember whose name is written in the tabernacle that He possesses, right? His name is written in your heart. His name is written right here, and we have to remember that it's His name. It's His name that has all the power. You understand that? It's His name. When we go to Him, we can remember that. We can remember saying, This is the temple that you designed. This is the temple that you saved now and you dwell in right now in me and in you. If you're a believer, He dwells in you and His name is on you, the name of Jesus. Amen? And all that goes with that, we have to remember that and be reminded. I love this story. And he says, and in that name, and will cry out to you in our distress. I will cry out to you. I love that part. Verse 13, it says, let's skip over to verse 13. It says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehezreel and Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and the descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. So a word from God came, and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat. And if you'll take a second and say your name in there instead of Jehoshaphat, say, listen, Randy. And all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen?
Amen.
The battles that we fight are not ours. And that's what he's saying. Remember this, King. That battle is not yours. It is God's. And we have to remember that. When we get into a spiritual war, we have to remember that battle is not ours. It's already been won, for one thing. That battle is not ours. It's His. And we just have to just say, Lord, You got this. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. We could also look at this as saying it's a way to overcome fear in our lives as well. Because every time we get scared, we have to remember that that fear doesn't come from God. That fear comes from someplace else. And we just have to remember whose name is written in us, whose name is in us. And we just leave it with Him, and we know that, okay, God, You got this. You're going to take care of this, because His Word says that. I love that. He said, tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Zig, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Juel, and you will not have a fight. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm to see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed down. And that's another thing that we have to look at. Jehoshaphat worshiped God. He bowed down after he knew this. He worshiped God. And that's something we have to do. We have to worship our Lord and Savior. It's an important part. He desires us to worship Him. He created us for His purpose. He created us to worship Him. You know that? He did. That's, you know, we are His creation, and He desires that from us. And so, you know, here we find the king. He gives him, he bows down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Can you imagine that scene? Can you just picture that in your head? It, not just the king, it says all the people in Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Koraites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Man, they shouted it. You know, I miss that. I want to hear people shout, praise the Lord, you know. He saved me. Praise the Lord. He's going to deliver me. Praise the Lord. He's going to fight my battles for me. I don't have to fight this battle because He's going to take care of it for me. That's a positive attitude. That's encouraging. Amen?
Amen.
I want to hear people say that. I want to say that. Lord, thank You. You're going to take care of this for me. Praise Your name. Sometimes that's hard to do, and when we're in a fight, we're in a struggle. But if we can just always remember who's got our back, and not just got our back, He's got it. He's out front already. You know, He's out front already fighting that battle for us. I want to read the rest of this because this is so good. Early in the morning, they left for the desert. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. Also, consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. And as they went out, at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Amen. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Amorites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy them, and after they finished slaughtering the men from Shur, they helped to destroy one another. They didn't even have to fight the battle. They killed each other. And God did this for them. They didn't have to do anything. The guys, you know, they just killed each other. That's what God does if we let Him. And that's the thing. We have to let Him do these things. We have to let Him do these things. It's an amazing story. And if you skip down to verse 25, I'm going to go down to verse 25. They rejoiced between that. I mean, they blew trumpets and they rejoiced for what God had done. But in verse 25 it says, the fear of God came over all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. Amen. You know, Jehoshaphat was a young guy when he took the kingdom. He wasn't as young as some of his predecessors. But we find that it wasn't too far in the near future where they fell. And then, you know, we know about that story. We're studying a little bit in Daniel. But we know what happens. But Jehoshaphat was a good king. His eyes were with the Lord. And we find this story after Jehoshaphat that there were some of them that was good kings and some of them that was not good kings. And some of them were wicked. And then all this fell apart. But this story right here, it's just such a good story that reminds me, it should remind us about who fights our battles for us. When war comes against you, God has got this. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His name is written on us. We are His temple, and He is going to fight our battles for us. He's going to go before us and take care of these things. And all we have to do is humble ourselves before Him in prayer. And we just have to let Him do it. Lift Him up. Worship Him. If we do our part, He is going to do His part for us. Amen? Amen. Man, He's got this. And that's exciting to me. Because that's the God I serve. Amen? And He says this. This is the God we serve. You know, and so many times I see so many people walking around defeated all the time. And they claim to be Christians. They claim to be, you know, well, I go to church and I do this, but they walk around in such a defeated life. And I think, why? Why do you do that? Now, I know I get down. I get depressed sometimes. I do. I do. But it doesn't take me long. I get down and I get moping around, you know. But it doesn't take me long if I just take a second and start thinking. I start saying, Lord, why is this? Well, you know, it's just automatic. Whenever I say, Lord, why? I just stop right there. Because I know that there's a purpose, there's a reason, and He's going to take care of it no matter what. And I have to remind myself of that. We're all guilty of that. But I don't want to live in that state of depression. I don't want to live in that state of fear. I don't want to live in that state of defeat because I know I've got a God that does not want me to be there. He's not that God. And He promises us that He will take care of it. Amen? Amen. Let Him fight your battles. Man, this is so good. It encouraged me when I was studying this. It really did. It just lifted my spirits up. And I'm thinking, man, this is a great reminder. It's a great reminder. It's more of a Bible study than a preaching lesson, but I hope you get it tonight. I hope it goes with you throughout the week and you're encouraged. And no matter what happens to you the rest of this week, you can say, I know God's got this. He's going to take care of it. And I'm not going to worry about it. Amen? Amen. You know, because ultimately what happens, you know, what's the worst case scenario can happen to a Christian? You go to heaven. Wow. I mean, you know, I say that. It's true. That's our destination. That's our home. We're aliens right down here. Amen? Yeah. Our goal is that. So let's be encouraged. Love you guys.